Hello, friends. This is your friend Kent C. Dodds, and I am joined by my friend Daria Caraway. Say hi, Daria.
Hello, everyone.
I asked you to say hi, Daria, but that's okay too.
Oh.
I'm so excited to be joined by you again. We just finished recording your first episode. And so, folks, if you haven't listened to that yet, I recommend that you give that a listen. We talked about making the decision on whether you want to be a specialist or a generalist. And I thought it was a very interesting and fun conversation. That's when you got to know Daria too. So we're going to skip that part and we'll go straight into our conversation about TypeScript. So Daria, in our last episode, you talked a lot about migrating from JavaScript to TypeScript. Why in the world would you do that?
Yeah, it's a great question. I talked a little bit in the last episode about not being able to say no. So I think that's why I would do that is the opportunity was there and it seemed like less friction to just figure out how to do it and do it well. But I think that those experiences probably contributed to a lot of my passion for this topic specifically that we're talking about. So I'm sure that'll come up.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I can only imagine. So actually, I'll just say I have done migrations before, and every single time it was just easier to migrate when there were well-written tests for the thing that I'm migrating from.
Totally.
And well-written tests is, if they're like very low-level unit tests, you pretty much just delete them. But if you had some good like end-to-end tests or integration tests, then those were invaluable. And I think TypeScript is a lot of the same way. So I imagine as you were doing these migrations, you just really wished that the old code had been written in TypeScript, right?
Yeah. It's interesting too, because in the first big migration I did, it almost happened in two phases. We migrated from JavaScript to TypeScript. And then once it was in TypeScript, we migrated from AngularJS to Angular 2. But different teams in different parts of the code base kind of did those at different rates. So there were some points where we were migrating AngularJS that was already in TypeScript to Angular 2 or AngularJS that wasn't in TypeScript to Angular 2. All of the JavaScript, I didn't know at the time, but I wished it would have been in TypeScript. And then there's kind of this interesting other part when you're already in TypeScript and you're migrating something. I noticed that even when you're in TypeScript, if the types weren't written in like a specific way that made them useful, it almost made the migration worse. In that, when you're in JavaScript and you don't know what the data looks like, you have to go and figure out what the data looks like, and that is a huge time sink. I would rather the data just be spelled out for me in TypeScript, right? But when you're in TypeScript and the data is spelled out for you and it's wrong and you like start migrating things assuming that that's the way it looks, but it doesn't, that also is kind of like a tricky situation to be in. So even though TypeScript, I'm a huge fan of it, it does come down to the developer to make TypeScript useful.
That actually sounds a lot like tests, right? Like if you have...
Yeah.
Very low level unit tests that are mocking everything and they're just not well written tests, then it's actually worse than having no tests, because you feel like you have to make that test pass, but it's actually really slowing you down. That relates very well. So what is it about TypeScript? Like, well, why can't I just say I use TypeScript and now everything is happy? Like, what makes it... How can I write TypeScript in a way that's bad, like that makes it worse than just JavaScript?
Yeah, I think, this is kind of a hot take, I think, but I like to think of TypeScript in my own brain as being kind of like a fake type of language, if that makes sense, in that I've done some backend work. We talked about a lot in the last podcast in like a Java type language where when the types are there and your code compiles and it runs, 99% of the time, you're good to go. Unless that data is coming from somewhere else, your types are going to be true and they're going to represent the data that's there. And the code that actually comes out that is compiled takes those types into consideration when it's thinking about doing like memory usage and allocation, right? But in TypeScript, that's not necessarily true, in that the type checker lives completely separately from the actual compiler. So you can make the types happy in a way that doesn't actually represent what's happening whatsoever. And kind of the other side to that. Yeah, in TypeScript, it's super, super highly configurable, right? Like, you can make TypeScript look just like JavaScript and have added no types, basically, depending on what your like TypeScript configuration settings are. So in that way, it's different from other type languages I've worked in that you could convert a JavaScript file to TypeScript, set everything to any, and like, technically you're done, mm-hmm. but you didn't actually deliver any value.
Oh, absolutely. Doing typecasting with as whatever, and not to say that those things. So I should take a step back. When I've always been an advocate for using any or now unknown as liberally as you need to when you're getting started with TypeScript, because I made the mistake when I started TypeScript. Or actually, it was Flow for me when I started getting into type JavaScript, where I just had to make everything perfect. It had to be exactly what it was. And if it wasn't that, then I wasn't finished with the feature. And it just took me forever to get things done because I was unfamiliar with the type system. And that led to a lot of frustration for me and my team waiting on me and stuff. And so then I became an advocate for, okay, let's just slap unknown or any on there and move on. And then you can come back later and fix it when you are good at TypeScript. But I think that when you are experienced with TypeScript, it's really easy to say, oh no, that will never happen. And just slap what's the bang you put at the end, non-null assertion, as whatever, and say, I don't want to handle that error possibility. So I'll just say that will never happen. TS ignore next and mm-hmm. all that. You could totally do that. But lying to the compiler is not advisable. It can really make it hard for your TypeScript or for TypeScript to be useful to you.
Yeah, that's a good point. I like the way that you just said that. In traditionally statically typed languages, it's very difficult to lie to the compiler. If you do, like, your stuff just isn't going to work and like, you're not going to get away with it. But in TypeScript, you can lie as much to the compiler as it makes you feel happy, right? And the other thing too that you kind of reminded me of, like, it's not to say that converting a JavaScript file to TypeScript and typing everything as any or unknown is bad, because there's definitely a place for that, especially in my experience when you're migrating large pieces of code from JavaScript to TypeScript. Sometimes you just got to get it over there with what you know. You fill in all the pieces that you don't know and you say, okay, at least I know that these are the things that we don't know, right? And then you move on until you have more information. Yeah. And so there's ways to use all of these pieces and options correctly, as long as you're being intentional about it.
Yeah, I totally agree. And like, including little comments that explain why you didn't have the time to do this, we needed to ship or whatever. Like, who cares if your type system is sound if your company is no longer in business? So like, there's trade-offs there. And the same trade-offs apply with testing. And that actually is kind of the next thing that I want to hear your take on. And that is, with other languages, the type system is like the whole language, like that. Mm-hmm. You cannot have one or the other by itself. With TypeScript, it's a little different. And that's actually, I don't know if you're familiar with my testing trophy. It's like the spiritual successor to the testing pyramid, but it's got four levels, because we have the static code analysis at the bottom, because we don't have static typing by default in JavaScript. And so anyway, I see TypeScript more as a testing tool in the JavaScript ecosystem, than typing would be in like Java or Scala or something.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a really good point. It kind of made me think, like, in the past, before I had used TypeScript, before I used TypeScript, I used CoffeeScript, and that's a whole other thing. But
that's fine.
I would also use the test to learn more about the code, right? Like, if you don't know how you're supposed to use a component and there are no documentation, there's no comments or anything, you can take a look at the test to understand, okay, here's what I'm supposed to pass into this component. Here's what I can expect the component to return to me, right? And in some ways, TypeScript kind of takes that burden off of the test a little bit, in that I don't have to rely as much on the test for documentation, because that layer of it can be provided by that static analysis tool, in this case being TypeScript.
Absolutely. And when we're talking about documentation too, it lends itself pretty naturally to documenting things as well, where you're like, well, I'm writing this TypeScript anyway, I'll just add a couple of notes to explain what this is, or we have this user type that we just use all over the place. And so I've been writing a lot of Discord bot code recently for my Discord, and their TypeScript, like, everything is TypeScript, and it's really nice. They have a member object that's a member of a guild, but then they also have a user object. And so before, I written it originally in JavaScript, and I was always very confused about what the difference between these two objects was. But when I started migrating everything over to TypeScript, that difference became very clear, and I was able to see, oh, okay, this is a user object. And so I know exactly what properties that doesn't have and how to get the member out of it and all of that. When you've already invested the time into writing some types, the documentation is kind of the natural next step, but that doesn't always happen. Do you think that it's always necessary to document your types, or when is it necessary to add, like, the Java doc on a function? Do you always do that, or is it only for certain cases?
Yeah, I think it kind of depends for me on what I'm working on. Like, I'm more of a product developer, so a lot of the times people aren't, like, consuming my code, right? But there are other people team that have to read it. But in your case, you might be working on, like, libraries more often that other people are consuming. When I find myself writing something that I know is going to be used by lots of other people for maybe a variety of different reasons, I'll be more likely to add, like, real documentation on it on top of the types. When I'm working on something for the product I work on that I know just my team is going to have to work on, or I'm going to have to work on in the future, I put only as much context there as I think is needed, knowing that you already have the context for our entire application and what this data may or may not look like.
Thank you for such a nice view on this. One of the things that bothered me so much with when I was doing Java, and granted, this was the early days of my career, but all of the code that I saw was, you'd have, like, all these getters and setters, and you'd have, like, you know, a user object with a get name and a set name, and then you'd have Java doc there that would say, here's the set name and here's the name, and the Java doc would be, it's the name, like, the name for the user or whatever. It's like, duh. I don't know why you needed to write that. I totally agree with that idea of practicality here. You don't have to document every function. However, there are some, like, internal functions that only I use that I've decided, okay, I use this enough, and it, like, it's a util or something, where it can be nice for me to remind myself, okay, this is, we're making a relationship between two users. So this is user A who's going to be making relationship with user B, whatever it is. And so, being practical about how much you document things is useful. Having TypeScript just in general makes a huge class of problems just disappear. But as you mentioned, there are some ways to do that more effectively than others. And I'd love to dig into that a little bit deeper. Experiences that you've had where the TypeScript types were really great and helped you a lot versus not, and what the difference was in those two.
Yeah, I think I have, like, one example. It's easier for me to come up with an example where I felt burned, because I feel like those examples stick with you longer.
Yeah, that's the negativity effect.
Yeah, exactly. I remember when I was migrating from AngularJS to Angular 2, there was one component is the wrong word, like section of this massive form. And it was all in TypeScript, but wrong is the wrong word. Like, we were talking about how you can lie to the compiler, to the type checker, right? So when I make a cognizant decision to lie to the TypeScript type checker, which I don't do often, but when I do, I like to think that it won't be a problem in the future. But when you're working on somebody else's code, because you're working on a code migration, when the types are lying to you, it feels personal. Like, it feels like the person who wrote these types wanted to lie to me, and like, it is, it's really frustrating. That's obviously not how it is, but when you're like really in it, that's how it feels. Yeah. And so, yeah, there was definitely one instance where there was a massive object that came back from the server. It probably had like 50, 60 properties on it. And they were all optional, because like, we weren't sure what data actually lived in what objects, and that object was used in a lot of different places when maybe those should have been different types, if that makes sense. So they were all just using one super generic type where all the properties were optional. And in case A, I know as a developer that these five properties are never going to be optional. They're always going to be there. But according to my types, they're telling me that all of these things are optional. But in case B, a different five properties will always be there, but the type is telling me it's optional. And now it gets really frustrating, because like, I'm not sure if I'm wrong or if the types are wrong. And you try to fix them, and sometimes it's harder to unravel the web of types than it is to just accept what's there. And so, yeah, I think that's just one time that I can think of where it just becomes, it becomes frustrating, and you almost rather it be in JavaScript so that I can just do what I want and not have to lie to the type checker that I already know is being lied to, if that makes sense.
Yeah. You like double on the lie. I totally know what you're talking about. And what makes it frustrating is, you know, that if they'd spent a little bit more time on it, or if you in the past had spent a little more time, I'm speaking for myself here. If I'd spent a little bit more time on it, then I could have given myself a really nice interface, and I could have said, okay, so we do know these are optional, but if this property is defined, then I know that these other properties must also be defined. So we can union this stuff and make it work, so that it, you know, all I need to do is a little, you know, assertion function here. I absolutely know that this is the way that it is, and now I can, all of those properties are required or whatever. Totally. So yeah, being a little bit more like, because TypeScript's not perfect, but it can allow you to provide really nice interfaces. You call them human considerate TypeScript interfaces. And so, yeah, can you mention just a couple of the tricks that you can use to make your interfaces more human friendly or considerate?
Yeah, I think what you just mentioned, like all of the steps that could have been taken in this scenario to make these interfaces more considerate, a lot of them were what people might perceive as like more advanced TypeScript types, right? It's gone beyond just like the string Boolean situations. It's gone beyond just like an interface that has properties on it. And so I think like just the number one thing that I've learned is valuable is to, when I see a type that I don't know, like when I come up on a type for a third party library that sometimes, in my experience, third party libraries sometimes have really ridiculously in-depth types because they want to make it easier for the consumer to not really have to worry about what's going on. They just know that they use it and it is correct. Whenever I come up on one of those types, I'm like, oh God, I don't know what this is. It has too many letters in it. There's lots of nested statements. I want to just close out of the file and be like, I don't have to know what's going on here. I try to figure it out, break it down so that I can learn what these strategies are that people are using to make their types more considerate. And I think sometimes that can be really intimidating, but just being curious and yeah, steadfast enough to be like, this is confusing. I'm going to figure out what it is so I can learn what some of these more advanced types are. And then once you do learn what some of these more advanced types are, it becomes much easier to take what you have in your head and put it onto the paper or the computer.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one thing that I've noticed about migrating from JavaScript to TypeScript is, well, first of all, it's very difficult once if you don't understand TypeScript very well. And especially when we're talking about libraries and stuff, having an understanding of some of those more advanced things that you were talking about is really helpful. Libraries are especially hard to type. But secondly, I've found that some of the way that I've written some code does not jive well with JavaScript very well, or with TypeScript.
Sure.
And so TypeScript also is a helpful tool in helping you design your code in a way that is just easier to use.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I find that happening a lot where it's like, if I can't easily take what I know to be true and put it into the types, it's probably because it's too complicated, or there's something that I have in my head that isn't explicitly spelled out with what's in front of me.
Yeah, that's a good point. That example of this giant object where if this property is defined, then these will all be defined. That actually makes me wonder if the data model could be changed in some way to say, okay, well, rather than having this property in all of these, we'd have like this sub object, you know, and if this sub object exists, then clearly all those would be defined or something, which is sometimes difficult to do. But like I've had, you know, there are different, what's the word I'm looking for? Or in the TypeScript documentation, they have this pattern called, you might know what it is, but you have a kind variable or a property on the object that is like an enum. So then you can switch off of that kind variable. So this is like, yeah. Do you remember what I can't remember what that's called.
Yeah. I think you're talking about discriminated unions.
That's it. Yeah. Yeah. So like different, whether they're patterns or built-in features, things where just like what you said, digging into library TypeScript definitions and things can really help expose you to different ideas and good ways to manage your types so that you can make it more human friendly.
Yeah, definitely. And two, just like sometimes I just need to take a step back. Like when I'm working on my product code specifically, you have so much context in your head. Maybe you've been working on this feature for 2 weeks. You have so much knowledge, so much context, and I personally am going to come back to it in a month and have completely forgotten all of that. So sometimes it just takes, like, if I come back the next day and I relook at these types, is there something that is less clear now that I don't have this context like right in the front of my brain?
Yeah, I often find when I have that context hidden in my brain, I try to be really clever.
Yeah,
and that doesn't. Being clever and TypeScript do not really go well together. Like constructing these objects in a funny way or whatever. It's often better in TypeScript, I've found, to just be very explicit and very simple. Like it's okay to have a bunch of if statements in here to check different properties, whether they exist, and throw an error. Like I will say that'll never happen. Like this is impossible. You know, that's where you're like, oh, I'm going to just add the bang. And you know, this will never be null. And then you find out later that it could. So I'm always just happier or better off saying, well, if that ever does happen, then throw an error or log a warning. I've definitely seen those warnings pop up like, oh, like it'll say this should never happen.
And it did. Yeah. That's funny. You kind of reminded me, like, sometimes people will ask me, like, hey, I have this thing. I can't figure out how to type it. And maybe there'll be, like, five other people in the conversation trying to figure out how to type the thing. And then you take a step back and you're like, why are you doing this? And maybe that's the question that needs to be asked. Like, it's so difficult to type. We have five senior engineers trying to figure out which complicated set of advanced TypeScript features we can like string together to make this thing work. Maybe this isn't the best way to do this. And I think, I like that perspective sometimes.
That's actually really great too. Like, maybe we shouldn't do it this way. Maybe like if it's really hard for the TypeScript compiler, then and the TypeScript compiler is not perfect. There are definitely imperfections in the feature sets and everything. But if it's that hard to do, then maybe a user of this code that you're writing will also have a hard time because of the way that, or the API that you're exposing. Now, I want to ask you, this is barely tangential, but I thought about it a little bit ago. I want to know what your feeling is on single letter variable names or type names in generics. How do you feel about this? This is like pervasive in even the TypeScript documentation. Everybody does it. I want to know what you feel about that.
Yeah, I think I don't have as much of like a guttural reaction to it. I think because the first language that I learned at university was C++. It was like the CS 101 language. So the first place that I learned this concept of generics is with C++ templates, I think they're called. And like they always use T, and I think that the T stood for template. So in my brain, I've always just associated that generic value with the letter T. But I can see how if you don't have that already wired into your brain, that it can get really confusing. And I think too, I've seen like a lot of third-party libraries will do this for really complicated things. When you start to use more than one single letter generic, like if you're doing like a KV key value type thing, and there's like six, then that starts to get very overwhelming. I can no longer just say like, okay, the T represents a type. I have to keep in my head which one is which. So I think, yeah, I don't know. It's hard. Well, what's your take on this?
I hate it so bad. So if it's just one and it's T, like sometimes like you have an array and this is the type of the elements in the array, that like I think that's pretty obvious. That's mostly a familiarity issue. You figure out what that is and then you move on with life. But yeah, like you said, if you have even two and it's not like totally obvious which one, like KV, yeah, maybe key value, I guess. But my big issue is like, even if it was just key value, why can't we just write the word key and value?
Yeah.
I don't know why pretty much everybody agrees that variable names should be like fully spelled out. But for some reason in TypeScript, the generic types are just like a single letter, like write the word. I don't know. Anyway, that was just kind of an aside. But I feel like there was one other thing that I wanted to mention, and I can't remember what it was. Was there anything else that you wanted to bring up before we wrap up?
I'm kind of curious from your perspective. I've been talking to one of my coworkers who works on the component library at the company I'm at. And the way that he thinks about TypeScript is inherently different than the way that I, as a product developer, think about TypeScript. I like to think of considerate component AP or considerate TypeScript types being like, you can look at it and understand what it's saying. But sometimes in the library world, it might mean something really crazy complicated, but the user never has to understand it. They just have to know when they're using the component, they can type, they get autocomplete. It all is just like a really nice interaction. So in some ways that might also be like a considerate TypeScript type. I'm curious from your perspective, which one you find yourself doing more of in the type of work that you work on?
Yeah. Library and application TypeScript are pretty different, mostly because if we like remove the types entirely and just think about what the software is doing, when you're making a library, for it to be useful, it needs to be generic. That's just like, otherwise, why are you writing this library?
Sure.
And so therefore, it needs to satisfy more use cases. And so like, typically, library code just in general will have more things that it's doing for you. And for that reason, when you add types to it, the TypeScript just tends to be a little bit more complicated just naturally out of the fact that this code is doing more for you. And so I wouldn't say that I said that it's kind of different, but it's really not. It just comes down to the fact that you have to account for more cases. You end up doing more unions or like key of and all of this stuff to make things human friendly. Yeah, I don't really think of product versus library TypeScript as being necessary. Well, when people look at my types, all I really care for them to know is how to interface with what I've built for them. I don't really care, or actually really want them to understand what's going on under the hood necessarily. Mm-hmm. When I'm doing application types, for those, it just seems to go by so fast. I'm just like, okay, this is a number, this is a string. Oh, well, this user, I don't know. It typically is a little less complicated, but I don't often think about things working or how my types describing kind of how things work under the hood. I'm curious what, could you expound on that perspective a little bit more?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a really good point. I think from what I've seen talking to my friend who works on this library, it's what you said. Like, the user shouldn't have to worry about what's going on underneath. They just want to know that they can use the component. It's easy to use. When they pass in the wrong types, they get like a friendly error message back that allows them to iterate. Whereas I think sometimes when I'm working on a product, I do want my teammates to know what's going on under the hood without having to dive in deeper. Like, maybe you have a really big component that has a bunch of little components under it. If you can just look at the type for the big component and get like a cursory glance and understand exactly what's going on 10 layers underneath it, I think that's a win. So in that case, it might be like a different way of thinking about TypeScript between those two like modes.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, there was, I remembered the thing that I wanted to talk about just to wrap this up. And you mentioned to me that you like to think of TypeScript as, or you want to make sure that people understand that TypeScript does not change the behavior of your code, that, mm-hmm. that the types are separate from the runtime. Can you expound on that a little bit?
Sure. So I think the easiest way that I like to think about it is if I take a look at how my application is building, generally we're using Babel to compile TypeScript instead of the TypeScript compiler. But either way, TypeScript will run a type checker and then they'll also run a TypeScript compiler. The compiler will take your TypeScript and convert it into JavaScript so that your browser can actually use it, because browsers don't speak TypeScript, right? But the type checker is the thing that actually looks at all your types and tells you whether or not you have errors in them. Those two processes have absolutely nothing to do with each other. You can run your TypeScript compiler, get output that works, and still have hundreds of TypeScript errors telling you that the types are wrong. So I think that's a really important distinction to know about. And you mentioned earlier, like, sometimes you don't want to have to type everything right off the bat because it can slow you down in some ways. So in that case, I would recommend like having the TypeScript type checker not block you from compiling. This is like a setting that you can have where if you have a type error, you can block yourself from compiling so that you don't see the changes in your JavaScript. But maybe you prefer to have the TypeScript compiler compiling so you can quickly iterate and then go back and fix all the type check errors later.
Yeah, I think that's a critically important point for people to understand, is that the type checker and the compiler are two different things. And I actually waited to use TypeScript until I could use Babel with it. And that's why I started with FlowType, was because I didn't want to get rid of ESLint and Babel and everything else. And so, yeah, it was a glorious day when Babel supported TypeScript. I was very happy about that. And I definitely see them as two different things. I run TSC, and that's my type check script. And then I say no emit, don't actually compile this stuff, and then use Babel exactly as you described. Well, great. Is there any last thing that you want to bring up before we wrap up this episode?
I don't think so. This has been a great talk. I've appreciated talking to you about it. I think sometimes this is like a hot topic. TypeScript is kind of like, there's some opinions on whether or not it's good or bad. And so I appreciate talking about it, and like, maybe it's not good or bad. Maybe it's just, we need to figure out how to use it in a intentional way.
I agree. It's one of those tools where it's not quite like prettier, where it's like, why aren't you using this thing? But it's pretty close. Like, most of the time you should probably be using TypeScript. There are trade-offs for sure. Okay. So here's our homework. We actually have a two-parter for you. So, because there are probably two types of people listening to our episode, And that was not a TypeScript joke, but I'm going to run with that. There are two types of people. The first type is TypeScript users. And if that is you, then I want Daria and I want you to take a look at five interfaces you wrote recently and see if you can refactor them to make them easier to read for the next person. That could be just adding documentation if it's needed, or it could be like maybe if it's a generic, give it more than a single variable name or something. I don't know. But yeah, see if there's a way that you can make it easier for consumers, making it considerate. If you are a non-TypeScript user, regular JavaScript user, then we'd like you to think about the last complex code that you had to interface with and whether it would have been easier to interface with that if it had types. And if it did have types, think about how nice it was to interface with that. So anything to add to that, Daria?
No, that sounds good.
Awesome. Well, it's been such a pleasure chatting with you. I just loved visiting with you for the last hour and a half for these episodes. So thank you for giving us your time. And you know what? I forgot to ask you at the end of the last episode. So sorry about that. But what's the best way for people to get in touch with you online?
Oh, sure. I'm just at Daria Caraway on Twitter. Also, if you go to dariacaraway.com, you can see any conferences that I have upcoming if you want to catch me there.
Cool. And I hope that in the near future, we'll be able to meet in person at one of those conferences. Let's keep our fingers crossed. Wear a mask and get vaccinated. Yeah. Okay, cool. Thank you so much. And we'll see everybody later.
See ya.